Shalom, Havarim, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my precious wife, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Well, thank you, darling, and shalom to all. And we are so glad that you set aside this time to study God's Word with us. Let's pray.
Lord God Almighty, we thank you for the peace that endures and our strength that empowers us over the enemy that wants to rob us of our inheritance. But we hold tight, clinging to the cross that saved us, knowing no one can take us out of your righteous right hand. We continue to pray salvation for our unsaved loved ones and protection for those who are being persecuted and godly wisdom for our president. Bless tonight's program, and may it bring a smile to your face. In Yeshua's name, amen.
And amen.
Well, we've been hitting Iran hard every night.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's escalating, and the United States is deploying 100 aerial refueling tankers to Israel in preparation for a possible renewal of their joining the fight in Iran. The deployment signals the United States' readiness to support Israel and their military operations if hostilities do resume. Meanwhile, we have been destroying bridges, airports, radar defense systems, a railway in the south, missile launchers.
And at least 60 small attacks, boat attacks in the strait.
Yeah. Surprised the Islamic regime hasn't folded yet. And finally, Trump realizes the MOU was a farce and now is going full throttle and hopefully bringing a totally new government to Iran. Of course, that's much to Vice President Vance's dismay, who heavily supported the MOU. But the Iranian people long for a new government, totally new, who I understand have started causing some major explosions to important areas. And we are seeing our converted Catholic vice president, so obviously not an evangelical and certainly not familiar with Genesis 12:3. He has been saying some anti-Israel comments lately, which of course is a concern to all of us. He has recently said on the Joe Rogan show, actually he was on there for 3 hours, which, by the way, you can see him on YouTube if you want to look. But Genesis 12, verse 3 says,
I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you.
Vance, to me, bore comparisons to the Obama and Biden administrations. He defended the ludicrous notion that the Islamic terrorists could be enticed to rejoin the civilized world by means of Western bribery and diplomacy. As well, he scapegoated the Israelis for his failure by saying there were people within Israel's government secretly manipulating American public opinion to keep the United States at war with Iran indefinitely, never mentioning their objective, but just indefinitely.
And secretly?
No. Bibi has openly said and has the duty actually to speak his reasons.
And they are the right ones.
I do agree. Also in December of last year, when presented with an opportunity to take a stand on the Israeli issue at the Turning Point Fest, Vance whiffed, saying, and he just stayed neutral over the anti-Semitism of his very good friend Tucker Carlson, calling him a vital voice in the conservative movement. Tucker frequently hailed Vance on his media platforms
and personally encouraged him to run for vice president.
Mm-hmm, yeah, and after becoming vice president, Vance hired Tucker's son, Buckley, as his deputy press secretary, who left in April to pursue his own political consulting firm.
So they are pretty tight.
I would say so. Although he is now facing pressure to distance himself.
I'm sure he is.
Mm-hmm. And now Congress is divided over stopping all aid to Israel,
our only real ally in the Middle East.
Yeah, they do a lot for us, as in share intelligence and technology and buy our military aircraft, defense systems, munitions, and so much more with the money we give them.
So it comes back in reality.
Right. Anyhow, Netanyahu knows all too well that this is happening on the left. So he's actually been anticipating this for a while, actually commenting that it was time Israel be completely independent. Hopefully the next president, and I prefer Rubio, will find other ways to bless Israel or America is in serious trouble.
And that's according to God.
It is. And to top it all off, the New York City's first Muslim mayor, Mamdani, who took his oath of office on a Quran, says his legal department is examining what actions authorities could take if the Israeli prime minister visits New York for the UN General Assembly in September. Since the ICC,
the International Criminal Court,
has officially issued a warrant for his arrest. However, the United States or Israel has never been a member and therefore does not recognize their legitimacy.
Besides, federal law supersedes states' ruling.
It does. So this is just more political theater to please Mamdani's base.
And take attention away from his failures, which are mounting up.
They are. And Trump already said it. It's not happening. And if you saw last Thursday's speech by President Trump, you know he's totally convinced that much corruption occurred in the 2020 elections, and now there's buckets of proof anyone can view.
On whitehouse.gov.
Interesting, I haven't heard much about the findings, especially about China's involvement on the mainstream news media, and that includes Fox.
But hats off to Newsmax.
Yeah, they have been detailing the many documents. And finally, we must address that tomorrow, Wednesday evening, and all day on Thursday, is Tisha B'Av, the ninth of Av.
The saddest day on the Jewish calendar.
Where they fast, deprive themselves, and pray, marking the many disasters that happened down through history on this very same day. The worst, of course, has been the destruction of both temples in Jerusalem, approximately 650 years apart, but both happening on Tish B'Av, the ninth of Av. Also on the ninth of Av, in 1313 B.C., the spies returned from the Promised Land with reports of giants, so the Israelites refused to enter Canaan. Therefore, not trusting in God, God decreed they would wander in the desert for 40 years. Also, the Bar Kokhba revolt against the Romans in 133 A.D. ended in their defeat. The Jews of Beit Tar were butchered on the ninth of Av. And as well, the Temple Mount was plowed under exactly 1 year later, also on the ninth of Av. And still again, later on in their history, many more tragedies happened on this day, including in 1290, of the expulsion of all England's Jews.
Yeah, they just kicked them all out.
Mm-hmm. And later in 1492, Spain banished all Jews too. Interesting that both countries soon experienced a severe economic and intellectual decline. So that's a little Jewish history for you. And don't think for a moment if the progressive socialists get the power, Jews will be leaving America, too.
Then again, that's scriptural prophecy.
Oh, yes, it is.
Okay, you can read our many newsletters or listen to any previous program on shofarministries.net. You can also send us your questions or comments by email to sheila@shofarministries.net or just call the office and leave a detailed message to 440-834-9006, or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Please know how much we truly appreciate your love offerings, which can also be made on shofarministries.net. Okay. Let's talk about Micah.
Who's a little different than the other minor prophets in that he also preached a coming judgment, but here the people of Judah did repent, contrary to the northern 10 tribes where Isaiah had also been given warnings, but to no avail. So as a result, the Assyrians in 722 BC attacked and captured the northern tribes, but left Judah alone.
Yeah, for about 100 years.
Right, because the future new generation messed up. So God sent Babylon to them, who captured them in three waves, starting with Daniel.
They should have had a better knowledge of history.
For sure. As we read that, Jeremiah told Judah in chapter 3,
why did you do that after seeing what happened to your sister up north?
Jonah also experienced success, who, although reluctantly, went to the Gentiles in Nineveh, you know, the capital of Assyria, and they did repent.
But only for a while.
Right. Only about 50 years. Then the Medes, who actually, for a short time, worked alongside with the Babylonians, who conquered the Assyrians in 612 BC.
Yeah, you know, America is being warned now.
Especially now, with talk of not blessing Israel and anti-Semitism escalating, and most are not heeding the warning. In fact, all the progressives mock those who stand for Israel while recruiting others to join in with such horrendous remarks.
Don't forget Jeremiah 30:11.
I certainly don't. But just like in the Old Testament, it seems that when judgment is nearing, the false prophets get stronger, giving forth words of false hopes. As revival is coming all across America, no concern, etc.
As they did in Jeremiah's day concerning Babylon.
He was even imprisoned. And today we see it as well, where some false prophets are prophesying that everything will be all right, taking scripture out of context that actually refers to the millennial kingdom. And actually, lawlessness is getting worse. Just the fact that men are pretending to be women, is that just sick? Of course, there are some small revival groups. There always has been and there always will be. But the Bible says evil will increase and become stronger in the last days. And it is. And studiers of Bible prophecy, well, we knew it would. If you attend a church, by the way, that refuses to ever teach from the prophet books in God's Word, find another church.
And that's not easy these days.
Which is probably why we're still on the air after 25 years, thanks to people like some of you who help with our expenses.
Those who don't study the prophets might not even know we're in the last days.
Where are their eyes? Look at the spike in gross immorality. New diseases, infanticide, LGBTQ growing movement. And as we said, a growing anti-Semitism, while calling evil a good thing, as prophesied in Isaiah 5 and many other numerous signs.
And thank God there are pockets of people getting saved all over the world.
Oh, for sure. Even Muslims and Jews who are having dreams and visions that we mentioned last week when studying Joel, but still small in comparison to world population. With that said, praise the Lord, there will always be a remnant getting saved.
With a huge number during the tribulation.
Oh, yeah. It's recorded in Revelation 7, verse 9, and there are so many that John couldn't count them all. This time, God will remove all the true Christians just prior to Jacob's trouble over the main sin of rejecting his son,
which is unrighteousness.
And Micah has a very telling prophecy about our removal.
Yes, he does, in his last chapter.
And by the way, another point we should make is that false prophets are more liked and accepted when they consistently say good times are coming, because it's what most want to hear.
Yeah, I think they call that ear tickling.
Yes. even though Jesus did give some dire prophecies that the Pharisees sure didn't like.
As in the downfall of Jerusalem.
And some others. Anyhow, back to Micah, whose name means...
Who is like Yahweh?
Yes, and Micah gives many prophecies in just 7 chapters.
Some already fulfilled and some not.
We can only scratch the surface and we'll continue in Micah next week, but we should be able to stir you up to do your own complete study. Okay, so Micah preached in the south and Isaiah up north. Therefore, we're contemporaries and probably knew each other.
Or at least about each other. What was Micah's time span?
Approximately 737 to 690 BC, over a period of 3 reigning kings. The mighty warrior Jotham, his son, the very wicked, immoral Ahaz, who even burned his own children to Molech.
But then Ahaz's son was Hezekiah.
Yes, who had a mind for God, and because of that witnessed some amazing miracles. So Micah begins his writings by exposing their sins, then conveys punishment, if no repentance, and finally the hope of restoration. And not just in their time, but we will see Micah jumping ahead to prophesying the final days as well.
There are many future prophecies thrown through the chapter.
Yes, and we know when it's very future, because Micah uses our familiar term, in that day, which always means the last 1,000 years or the seventh day that begins with a heavy, evil, spiritual darkness of the tribulation period on earth, lasting 7 years, and then finishes with the light of Jesus' return to earth to set up his kingdom for the remaining 993 years.
Amen to that.
Okay, the first chapter shows Micah receiving the message from God that Samaria up in the northern kingdom will be destroyed for harlotry.
Along with their many idols on high places.
And so it happened, becoming a heap of ruins from the Assyrian army, where some of the Hebrews living up in the north were killed, and the rest were taken to Assyria and later dispersed throughout many lands. You know, for years we have heard of the 10 lost tribes of Israel. But today, most have returned in that it is now being said that all 12 tribes are accounted for in Israel, just as Scripture said would happen in the end of days.
Yes, he did in Jeremiah 23:8 and other prophets.
Micah down south in Jerusalem knew about this because God had told him, and Micah would wail, usually half naked, over that judgment, and therefore warned Jerusalem it would happen to them as well, if they did not repent, and in ashes, with a bald head of shame.
In chapter 2, Micah also calls out the iniquity of covetousness.
Yeah, and the seizing of properties using violence, while rejecting the word of the true prophets, but accepting the false prophets, who prophesied days of wine and drink. Then in verse 4, Micah jumps ahead, uses the term, in that day, because this similar judgment will happen again in the tribulation. And if you wouldn't see that, you wouldn't know this particular idiom in that day. It's a Hebraic roots phrase. But as always, the remnant shall be restored and gathered in like sheep.
Chapter 3, Micah really lays into the wicked rulers.
And reveals their cannibalism using their own people. Do you know cannibalism is still somewhat covertly practiced today right here in America? It's part of ritualistic ceremony called spirit cooking, and they drink the blood as well. Also, there used to be a cannibalistic TV show. You might have remembered this. It was called Santa Clarita. I think that was the name or something like that.
Anyhow, Satan's minions are alive and well everywhere.
Uh-huh, remember Ephesians 6. Anyway, Micah spares no words, and you can't take it any other way.
Yeah, in verse 3, he actually says, "You eat the flesh of my people."
And then he calls out the false prophets profusely for bribery, and he specifically says, how they say no harm is coming, but they lie, whose total demise is eventually a sure thing. He closes chapter 3 by giving a future prophecy, not of the very end times, but of what would happen before the very end, and in fact, did happen in 70 AD, when Jerusalem and the temple became a heap of ruins by the Romans.
However, in chapter 4, we see Micah jumping to the very latter days.
Yes, describing the millennial kingdom and how Jerusalem will be restored high upon the mountain, and many will come to the house of our Lord, and he will be the new king and judge.
No more fighting and no more wars.
Right. In verse 4, Micah uses a familiar phrase where he describes those being in the kingdom as sitting under his vine and under his fig tree, which are symbols for Israel during the millennial kingdom. In the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 48, we see Jesus telling Nathanael he saw him sitting under the fig tree.
In other words, prophesying to Nathanael he would be in his kingdom someday.
And then by verse 9 and the first part of verse 10, still in chapter 4 of Micah, Micah prophesies of the tribulation, and we know that because, again, he uses particular phrases that denotes it with the words, pangs of a woman in labor, which is also an idiomatic expression, always meaning the tribulation period where Israel will suffer, but it will bring her to birth.
The new birth of salvation.
By the last sentence of verse 10, he says, but first you will go as captives to Babylon. And they did. But would be delivered. And they were. After 70 years, and returned, thanks to King Cyrus, back to Jerusalem. And they started to rebuild Jerusalem and their temple. Then finishing chapter 4 in verses 11, 12, and 13, he brings them back to the present day and informs them that they will be victorious against their current neighboring enemies. So next week we will continue and cover chapters 5, 6, and 7, my favorite chapters of Micah. Many prophecies about the first coming of Christ, even where he would be born, and more about Israel's spiritual birth as a whole. And we'll visit some confirming scriptures and take apart my favorite Old Testament rapture scripture in Micah chapter 7. But in the meantime, please read the whole book before next week. And if you have any questions, email me at Sheila@shofarministries.net. And we might answer your question on the air. But the real major question just boils down to this. Who has your heart? I mean, really, has your heart? How well do you know him? Is he personal to you? Well, if not, you can invite him in right now. Just get down on your knees and ask him into your heart. Ask him to be your Lord, because he's your only Savior, who has totally paid off your debt for sins if you accept it. Unless, of course, you'd rather pay it yourself, but it's always your choice. I'll leave you with the ironic blessing. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Numbers 6:22. So till next time. Sha'alu Shalom, Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her, talking about Jerusalem, because that's going to be your home, you're going to prosper in many ways, many you don't even know about. So till next time, Shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.